I'm Peter McCullough, and I'm here today with Dr. Kevin Campbell, who is a former faculty member at Duke University School of Medicine, and he's currently CEO of Pacemate, which is a medical device monitoring firm. And our topic tonight is the impact of social media on cardiovascular practice. Kevin, welcome to Excel.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, this is a topic that I'll be honest that the editorial board of Excel has really struggled with, and that is, what is social media and how do we engage? And I'd like to take this interview from the perspective of a doctor, let's say it's an older doctor, who's just not yet engaged with social media. So tell us a little bit about what is social media and how do we take the next steps?
You know, first of all, we have to understand that social media is where our patients are and where we need to be in order to service their needs, that they are looking for us to support them there. Social media really is the digital realm where you have Twitter and Facebook and blogging and YouTube, all of these digital tools that are there to allow us to convey a message, to engage our colleagues, to engage patients, to improve public health, to actually address public health issues and advocate for ourselves as well as our colleagues, as well as our patients.
So do you think doctors, academic doctors, should be on social media?
I think that no physician, academic or private practice, can argue that you should not be on social media. Social media is one of the fastest growing ways that we can engage patients. If you think about the way medicine has changed, we're really limited in our exam room time. We're pushed to see more patients more quickly. Social media allows us more time to educate, more time to engage, more time to cultivate relationships with our patients, not in a doctor-patient treatment way, but in a global education and engagement way. And we know from the old internal medicine data with hypertension and diabetes, if patients are engaged and write down their data, they do better. Same thing with social media. It gives us those touch points between exam room visits.
So how does a doctor who's not yet engaged with social media, how do they take the first step?
You know, the first step is honestly to get involved by signing up for a Twitter account, signing up for a Facebook account that's a professional type account. Make sure, first of all, before you even start, check with your division chief, check with your hospital system, understand the rules of the playground. In other words, make sure that there's a policy in place and that you're following it. Once you understand the rules of the playground, determine what you want to do with social media. Do you want to engage patients? Do you want to engage the community? Do you want to engage colleagues? Do you want to conduct journal clubs? Do you want to reach out to political groups and organizations and advocacy groups? Or do you want to do several of these things at once? Once you figure that out, then determine what you want to accomplish. What are your goals with social media? To become a key opinion leader, maybe. To advocate for better access to healthcare. To advocate for more women in cardiology. All the things that you see in social media today. Once you know that, I think it's really important just to stick your foot in the water. In other words, sign up for a Twitter account. Once you sign up, listen. Follow folks that are prominent in our space. Dr. Eric Topol. Follow Dr. John Mandrola. Follow Dave Albert. You know, follow Mike Gibson. Follow these guys and see what they're talking about. Then begin, when you're comfortable, to interject your own opinion and your own, you know, opinion on the discussion.
So you describe it as being a fairly natural process. But I have to say, I almost wonder if someone needs to take a class in how to operate these systems and how to, you know, identify audiences and things like that. Is there such a class available?
You know, there are online resources. And I will say within the college here, there's a real push to promote engagement among members. If you look at our fellows in training section, they are incredibly engaged. And at the national meetings, if you walk into the Fit Lounge and say, hey guys, can you help me understand social media? You'll probably have 10 young cardiologists ready to help you right away. But there certainly are online resources, and also reaching out to folks like myself or Michael Gibson or some of the others that I mentioned. We are always happy to help. I've many times been able to shoot screenshots over to folks that are interested in getting involved and help them get up and running.
I mean, one of the obvious, very strong points for social media to me seems to be dissemination. And that is, we come to a meeting like this, there's all kinds of new knowledge being shared, and they're shared through the people in the room, and then there's some summary information that comes over the website. But the opportunity to disseminate not only the knowledge, but to disseminate viewpoints on the knowledge is tremendous. And you shared with me before we came online here that about 50% of the attendees at the American College of Cardiology meeting this year are tweeting right now.
It's an incredible way to spread the reach of our society and the reach of our organization and the national meeting. You know, it's very expensive if you're a European member of the ACC or an Asia Pacific member of the ACC. It's very expensive to come here, but we value their opinion and we need to understand their viewpoints so that we can produce, you know, better science, better trials to impact our patients. Twitter allows us to attend meetings virtually by following the hashtag ACC18 or whatever meeting it is. For example, I was not in Barcelona for the meetings last year, for the European meetings, yet I had people inviting me to coffee and to dinner because they thought I was there because I was so engaged on the hashtag. You know, different time zones and everything, but I was on my couch participating in the discussions around these things. So I couldn't afford to go over there and didn't have the time away from my practice, but I got to be a part of that meeting and I learned something. The benefit is, you know, whenever we have a trial presented, yes, when you have the Q&A in the room, people start thinking, well, maybe I should ask this question or this follow-up question or this follow-up trial. If we're engaging in digital, we can come up with 100 more questions that are really important research questions that will build upon the research that's just been presented at a late-breaking clinical trial.
That's very, very impressive and almost mind-boggling to think about that. Now, before we came on, you showed me some graphic presentations of the output of being involved in social media. And can you describe for the listener some of the maps that we looked at showing the connections?
So there's technologies out there that can create your digital ecosystem. In other words, for Twitter, for example, how are you connected to everyone who follows you? And you can create this almost spider web of connections, and you can look at where you are, your node, for instance, and actually see how you might be connected to Dr. Pascal Maier from the ESC across the ocean, and then who he might be connected with. And by using artificial intelligence, we're able to, through this software program, actually predict how you might engage someone that you're interested in engaging. So it's very, very interesting tool. One of the applications I think for this may be in public health in the United States. There's a concept of social listening, meaning what if we just open our digital ears and listen to what people are talking about in a particular region that may be underserved with treatment of hypertension? If we can understand why they are not adequately treated and why they're not filling their antihypertensive meds through sampling social media, we might be able to get involved, speak their language in their ecosystem, and impact change.
Boy, I tell you, I think it's so exciting. I can just tell with all the energy in your voice about the possibilities of social media. When I saw the map that you showed me of Twitter and all the different connections, the first thing I thought of was for practitioners out there, because one could easily see which doctors are following another doctor. And I know when we go to the meetings, a really enjoyable part of coming to the meeting is catching up with your faculty mentors. And you could do this in academics as well, about who's following who and how we're connected to our faculty mentors, to our referring doctors, our specialists who serve us. It could be a lot of applications, social media on the output side, that hospital administrators, academicians, meeting organizers, CME planners, et cetera, could use. So I think this has been a terrific interview, Kevin. I'm energized. I'm going to go out there and log on to Twitter and do something and get involved. And I think you're the right man for leading us forward in this new digital age. Thank you for being on Excel.
Thanks so much for having me.